You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
Episode 111 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Steven, the pop culture zealot, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Watch me pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Nothing on my sleeve. Presto! We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good, but I don't know if I can follow up that Bullwinkle impression.
No, nothing better than Dave Coulier's where he'd put the hands up.
Put the hands up as the...
Oh, God.
Hey, Rocky!
No, I prefer his jackalope impression.
Oh, God. Steven.
But then it. Again, it wasn't really an impression. Him.
He loved my impressions.
Basket, basket me!
You'd never catch me!
Cut it out! Remember you do that, too?
America's Funniest People.
Wow. What a train wreck that was. Really bad.
Riding Bob Saget's coattails.
Let's
on.
Find funny people in the mall. Good idea.
Hey, let's get a show co-hosted by Dave Coulier called Tawny Catane.
Tawny Catane. Before she started taking pills, I guess, and attacked her husband.
And after she dry humped cars in Whitesnake videos.
Yeah, that took a lot
of talent. Just before she hit that wall.
Yeah.
Oh, and what a wall she hit.
How would you like to co-host anything with Dave Coulier and just be like, God, Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
Yeah, you don't fool
me. Is that
me
one of them French-Canadian names?
Yeah, don't fool me with those French-Canadian stuff. It's
Get
Coulier.
Out of here, you illegal.
Now, hey, Bill, is the writer strike over, or am I just reading rumors that it could happen any moment?
We're hearing the writer strike is over, but then you also hear from insiders that don't hold your horses. There's a tentative agreement, but nothing has been agreed upon. And it looks like, just like we said earlier, that the deal they would agree with would be less than the original deal that was brought forward to them. So,
right. It's always like that. They just...
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot.
You got to shoot high and then...
You shoot high. No, and see, no, that's not the thing. They didn't shoot high. They got, you know, they got a good agreement at first, and now it's lower than the original that they turned down. So
I think
let's see what happens.
I think that what happens is that you get more desperate the less money that you're bringing in. That's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are strikes really a good idea?
No, strikes are always a terrible idea. You never get what you want.
It just, yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, it can depend, you know.
I mean, I understand you're trying to force them to make a decision by withholding.
But like with, okay, say like the movie industry, you know, or TV, whatever, you know. Oh, they're making their money on commercials. They'll rerun, right. And they're still going to make their money.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
You know what?
But car companies strikes. It will hurt them because they're making money on selling those damn cars, you know, and they're not making any. So
unions were created by people that worked in sweatshops. We don't have that environment anymore in the United States. So there's really no real reason to have a union.
Well, yeah, probably nowadays it's not so much. It's not so much.
If you go on strike, the person that's going to walk away from the table is the person that has the money.
Right.
What really sucks is how you are at the mercy of your union, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think is interesting, how studios started just dealing with them on their own, which I didn't know. I thought it had to be like a uniform decision, just the industry. But, you know, like MGM could say, hey, let's make a deal with you guys so our people can get back to work. And they did that. And how nice would it be for you to work for one of those companies that did that instead of one that was holding out?
Right. If, say the MGM versus Paramount. Paramount didn't settle. No, I'm not saying that they did or didn't. I don't know who did, but
one company
I think it was United Artists. That's the Tom Cruise thing.
Yeah, Tom Cruise made sure that his people are working. But here's
Tom Foos.
But here's the deal. Okay, say that the strike ended like early next week. How many shows go back into production immediately, and how many are just screwed?
None. The seasons are over. There's no way in hell. And the only shows that are going to go back to work are the shows that haven't started yet. Like, Lost might go back to work, but 24 will go back to work because now Sutherland's out of jail. The show can start up, you know, and they'll premiere
it
later on.
But
shows that have shot, like, 13 episodes and... That's it. That's it for them. Right. There's not good. It's going to be a short season.
Hey, lucky for Jericho, they already finished their season, didn't they? So they're just waiting to air.
It's tough to shoot.
Yeah,
those
I watched
four
the first three episodes of it the other day.
What is it? Is it seven episodes? I think they were greenlit for seven episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, what about we were talking about? Like Friday Night Lights was on tonight, and it's the last episode they had is pretty much that going to be the last episode ever of Friday Night Lights? Or?
Well, the guy that was the big cheerleader behind Friday Night Lights is no longer with NBC. And now there's a new guy who's the head of programming. I want to say his name's Ben Silverman, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
And he was asked at some event, I think it was the SAG Awards, about Friday Night Lights. And
oh,
he kept dodging He kept dodging the question about Friday Night Lights. And somebody said, what about Friday Night Lights? It's currently the best show on television. And he said, no, the best show on television is 30 Rock. You need to watch 30 Rock. And they said, well, what about Friday Night Lights? And he said, well, watch 30 Rock.
No, I remember what he said was, Friday Night Lights is a great show, but nobody watches it. I remember that's what he said.
And you know what? When you have a great show and nobody watches it, you need to figure out why. Because it's a great show and everybody should be watching it. But you need to figure out how to market it. Because I think Friday Night Lights is the one show currently on television that has the widest possible
Well, it's on the wrong night, number one.
It has the widest possible area for viewing. Like, you anywhere from 10 to 80,
right,
this show is good for.
And
it's
that
well written.
It's funny you said lead-in. It has no lead-in. It's the first primetime show, so it has no lead-in except for, like, Access Hollywood or something. But
I mean, you put it on after Earl.
And another thing is...
It did its best when it was
after
Heroes. You need to put it on after a popular show.
How has Las Vegas stayed on consistently on Friday nights?
Terrible show.
For so long.
Because it's cheap to produce.
How expensive
is
Friday Night Lights?
Well, because number one, okay, think about it, because how many canned shots of Vegas do they have?
Yeah.
So they're not
Las
shooting Vegas.
Las Vegas is shot in L.A. They have a casino set. In L.A., they shoot everything in L.A. They probably shoot it on video, whereas
how many
Friday Night Lights is shot in Vegas.
Are bikini girls shot?
Or, I mean, I'm sorry. Friday Night Lights is shot in Austin, Texas.
Right.
So you're paying that. You're paying the crew in Austin, Texas. You're paying, you know, room and board for these people, the actors that live in Austin, Texas. So
I'm saying it's worth it. It just sucks.
It's absolutely worth it.
I mean, instead, it hurts when you see a show like Lipstick Jungle getting all the
Ugly,
you know,
Betty,
promos and stuff.
And I know that's on the different channel, but still.
But I mean,
it was so ridiculous. The other night during Celebrity Apprentice, they actually, you know, this is bad enough. Now NBC has moved their logo to the left bottom corner, and they always have a show on promoting it. But during Celebrity Apprentice, for the entire show, there was a countdown for the premiere of Lipstick Jungle. A freaking countdown.
People have DVRs or whatever, or they know what's on next. They don't have to keep being reminded. What kind of idiots do they think we are?
And it's huge. It's huge.
This huge.
It takes up like an eighth of the screen.
And then they have them appear at the bottom of the screen where they're just kind of moving.
Oh, when you have
fan blowing through their hair. And
well, that's TNT. That's the worst. TNT.
Yeah. Before Bionic Woman premiered, you kept seeing Bionic Woman at the bottom of the screen. It's like, all right, we get it.
Yeah. And you know what? Why don't they just, for the money they lose on Friday Night Lights, why don't they put another Gladiator show on?
You know,
they're already promoting My Dad's Better Than Your Dad.
You know, right now, on NBC, it says, My Dad is Better Than Your Dad, February 18th, and it never leaves the screen. It's on there
never.
The whole show, all through Friday Night Lights. It's on there. It never leaves. And I'm not watching that show. My Dad is Better Than Your Dad.
You know what? If they're promoting that on Friday Night Lights, why don't they promote Friday Night Lights on that show?
Yeah, I want to see Friday Night Lights on that friggin' little thing during other shows, all right?
Exactly. Why don't they put Watch the Show that won a Peabody Award and an AFI Award, Friday Night Lights. I mean, promote that this show has won some serious awards.
What was that one show, The Phenomenon?
Oh, my God. They promoted the shit out of that.
You would see little doves fly across the bottom of the screen.
Uri Geller and that douchebag from A&E.
Chris Angel or whatever. Okay, hey, we got a voicemail, guys. Let's check it out. And let's hope that writer strike ends soon. I really hope it does.
I hope it ends this weekend, like Michael Eisner said.
I just want those Smallvilles to go back in production.
Oh, my God.
Good evening, Mulberrians. This is Mystery Man calling from the dim and distant past. I have to have you settle a little bet we've got going here. What is that little musical snippet at the front of episode 109 that goes kind of like this? It's kind of right on the tip of my tongue, and we both have some theories here, and I just kind of want you to resolve that if you could.
What is that?
Thanks ever so much, and I'm still listening out there.
All
right. Great show.
Mystery Man, we haven't heard from that guy in a long time.
Thanks, Mystery Man.
You know what? Our listeners are always out there.
Dick.
Dick, what?
Mystery
Son of a bitch.
Dick.
Yeah, well, you're a tool.
We haven't heard from that guy in like a year and a half. It's good to hear you're still listening. And Bill, why don't you go ahead and tell him what that music is?
You know what? I think that's, God.
Where did we steal that from?
It's Dawn of the Dead. We took it from Dawn of the Dead. It's the mall music from Dawn of the Dead. But I'm not sure
the
if
original.
It's by Goblin or if it's by the Novel Tones.
Okay.
From Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't Robot Chicken use it during their credits, but it's with a chicken balking it.
But yeah, at the very end of the original Dawn of the Dead, they show like everyone's dead, and then they show the zombies just walking around the mall to that music, and it's genius. It's just a great shot and great music to end.
Yeah, it's the best part of. That was one of the great things about Dawn of the Dead was the music that Goblin and Fabio Frizzi and all those guys did.
You gotta love the mall music through the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I keep reading bad things about Diary of the Dead, Romero's new movie, where there's
Diarrhea of the Dead,
a documentary crew filming a zombie. You know, on paper, it sounds like a cool idea. Think Cloverfield, where they're filming zombies attacking. Hey. But the problem is, what I've read, and I hate to, you know, use other people's opinions, I haven't even seen the film, but is that Romero has lost his subtle, what would you say, allegory, and now he's banging you over the head with it, you know, like, look how
it's
we
like
documented
I told
everything.
You,
I
think somehow those glasses of his are affecting his filmmaking abilities.
I'm worried about Romero. He looks like a zombie now because he smoked like... I don't know, 10 packs a day since he was in his 20s. And what is he, in his 70s now? The guy looks horrible.
Well, he's had those glasses since the 70s, too. there's something, I see him, I see those glasses, and I just want to say, you know, take off those glasses, please. They're freaking picture frames around your eyes.
You get a pass if you're old, you know.
No, you don't. Because you know what? I know old people that wear glasses and then have those VR sunglasses over top of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still no excuse.
I've seen that commercial where it's like high definition.
I don't care if you're old. Go to your ophthalmologist and get some new prescription sunglasses. It's that easy.
I wonder what the prescription is on those suckers.
Stop it with the VR sunglasses.
Have you seen that? High definition shades. Wow, colors are so much more vivid.
I was like,
it's like those blue blockers that like the yellow tint and makes the green greener and everything else yellow.
Yeah.
They sell, you know, I fly a lot and they have the Sky Mall magazine. You flip through and they got the pair of glasses that help you spot your golf ball when you're playing golf.
What?
It changes like the grass a different color, you know, so
nice.
You see the little...
It's greener.
Do they have glasses like that for snipers in the bush or something?
Yeah, I think Tom Berenger wore them.
Remember that old infomercial where you'd wear the glasses, but you could see behind you? I could see behind me! There's
Have you ever put
right
those
there.
On?
No.
Oh,
I had
terrible.
A pair of those as a kid.
Yeah, the commercial
makes
you
wear those,
the best
and
thing
then,
ever.
Remember when Back to the Future 2 came out, they had that promotion at Pizza Hut where you got the futuristic sunglasses?
Yeah.
I had a pair of those.
Nice.
And I actually wore them to school. And they were the circle ones with, like, the lids on top of them. And I wore them to school like I was from the future. I'm
like
a crack shot and gumshoe.
Like the thug in Back to the Future, one of the Biff's gang. You have the 3D glasses on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, so that is Goblin, most likely, we think.
No, I think it's
Dawn
the Gonk
the
by the novel tones.
Okay, but it's from Dawn of the Dead, and that's probably where he recognizes it from. Or it could
he might recognize it
from Robot Chicken.
Right.
I think they even used it in the at the very end of the credits for Shaun of the Dead. Like the very tail-ass end of them.
We've just totally aped it, though. It's actually, you remember it from Nowhere in Mulberry.
They stole it from us.
We open every show with that music, but it's not in the podcast. So it is.
We use it to buffer our live feed.
Right. Basically, what it is waiting to go on live. We buffer that between before the intro. So let's go ahead and check out entertainment because I have something to talk about before we get to what's on our TiVo. Let's do it. Now, last week we joked that Conan kind of stole our idea of doing Cloverfield on a show, but, you know, we were just kidding. Anybody could literally do that. Yeah, yeah, he ripped us off. But I just saw a trailer, and I think it's a zombie movie, Bill. It's this movie called Dead Air. Have you heard this, Steven?
No, sure haven't. Basically,
oh, that's the Corbin Burnson directed film.
Yeah, Corbin Burnson. God, I'm trying to remember his name on L.A. Law. Arnie Becker has directed a film called Dead Air. And basically what it is...
It's about his career.
Zombies in a radio station? Does that sound familiar to you guys? Because we've had our zombie characters
on our show. You know what, buddy? You stole our intellectual property. We're going to sue.
So anyone who's new to listening to our show, if you go back in Mulberry Old School, you'll find a couple of episodes, maybe three tops of zombies.
Something like that.
Attacking the radio station.
We're littered for the first like 50 of shooting zombies,
right.
Just occasionally.
And then there's the full-on assault.
And then
eventually.
We've had several full-on assaults.
And of course, there was the mall incident.
Yeah, we did a Halloween episode at the mall, and then God, zombies decided to attack then while
the
we're
bullet
doing our
train.
Show. Yeah.
Yep. We still have problem with the fallout from the mall episode.
The zombies.
Steven just had to set off the nuke.
Yeah. We can't go in that area of town right now. It's like Chernobyl, only not as bad. You know, it wasn't.
There's a giant cement sarcophagus.
Yeah, it wasn't a real powerful nuke. It was kind of like a mini nuke.
Yeah, and
kind of like they have in Starship Troopers. Nuke them!
Didn't we do like the space zombies too?
No, that was aliens.
Space aliens.
Yeah, yeah. No zombies in that one. But let's go ahead and check out Dead Air and see how awesome Arnie Becker has directed this thing.
Can't wait.
Luckily, it's all audio, so you'll really come across well. You know, it's radio.
You're back listening to Heartburn, to shine light and give perspective to things that we just don't put a lot of thought into. Okay, I see the lines are lit up. America, why are you so paranoid?
At 11:05 p.m. in the east and 8:05 on the west coast, a series of explosions occurred at a number of sporting events and public gatherings.
Something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. This is not a normal riot.
Why does every movie have that? Something's wrong.
Toxin. Victims affected.
That sounds like me reading the news.
Thousands.
The helicopter.
What's the helicopter crash?
Did it not?
Wait, is there a lion in there?
There's a lion.
Cue speed metal.
The body's hit the floor.
You know what they say, keep
was
your friends closer and enemies closer.
So is it zombies or is just everyone going crazy like in that movie The Signal?
I wouldn't even compare the two, but... I don't know. I think now the chic thing is to do a zombie movie, but not refer to them as zombies.
Or, you know what?
You can't use the Z word.
What I think, from the trailer, it looks like they do show what it is. But I think, it would be a small film. If you're going to do a low-budget horror film about zombies invading in a radio station, never show them. Just have the guy taking phone calls. It's horrifying or whatever. And then maybe at the end have a final shot to show the decimation. But, you know, tease us through the whole movie. Like, come on, show us what's going on out there. But the guy, he's there in the booth. He doesn't want to walk away. And Maybe at one point he hears glass breaking in the background. Like, is there something there in the station? So he locks himself in. It's pretty crazy. You know, you could do it, like, really cool, but...
And then they can end it with the quote-unquote dead air.
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah.
You hear... You hear the DJ being eaten alive. That'd be awesome.
I wonder if there's, like, a Wolfman Jack character in it.
We could make... But it's being made, but...
Yeah,
hey, everybody, there's zombies in the radio station. What am I gonna do?
Me and Corbin Burns.
Oh, Lord.
Good luck, Arnie. Let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVo.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Many times I'll turn on the TV early morning, say it's 9 or whatever, and Regis will be on. And the show's a total train wreck. Regis.
Well.
And he's interviewing Kate Hudson, and Kate Hudson's plugging her new movie *Fool's Gold* with Matthew McConaughey.
She looked bad in that on that show the other day.
Well, you know, you go on the press junkets, and you've got just like, you know, go on a bunch of interviews. I think she's pretty cute. Now let me get to what I was trying to do. She's talking about Matthew McConaughey and how she's seen him nude many times because she's worked with him. He's one of those guys, like, hey, I'll take off my clothes, no big deal. But listen how interested Regis is on this. He hangs on every word. He really wants to know about this nude Matthew McConaughey.
These love scenes that you do with him. I mean, this is the second movie.
Yeah.
You must be quite familiar with the...
All of it.
With his movies, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not all of it.
Most of it.
I've seen all of it.
Have you?
Yeah, because, you know, in the movie...
He's naked.
He's naked.
Right, there's that naked scene.
Yeah, so, and he's cool. Like, he's like, whatever, I'm, you know...
Is he a good kisser?
I'm human. You know, he is a good kisser.
Wait, really? Go back to naked.
He's a good kisser. Oh,
sorry, was he naked?
Naked.
What, you saw him naked?
Well, yeah, because he was doing the scene where he comes out of the boat and he's naked.
He was totally naked.
Well, I think we know each other so well that it doesn't really matter.
I know, get him a sausage.
It's a pendant.
So what happened? Was he anything exceptional?
Let's just say Matthew is a beautiful specimen.
All right.
What's this? You saw his penis? Yeah, what did it look like?
Was it spectacular?
Was it sensational? Nothing like
did
Gilman
it make
over
you,
there.
Did it make your mouth drop open and hear angels crying?
You think I would blow it, huh?
That's such a weird show, man. Just like Regis, like everyone trying to talk over Regis, like, all right, dude, shut up so I can tell my story.
At this point, it's just people humoring Regis.
Yeah.
He's become the old person that everyone just listens to and doesn't say anything.
If you think that show is a train wreck, Tyra Banks' show is a train wreck, man.
That's a train wreck.
There was this episode where she decided to give all of her audience a new pair of jeans, and it's just so loud and just crass and, like, oh, I get a headache watching it. Let's see how many times she says the word off on this.
We are going to rip off our jeans because they are all dead wrong for our booties, our legs, our thighs, our everything, as I'll give you a little reminder. Okay? And our jean posse is then going to come and give each of you a brand new pair of Page Premium Denim jeans that fit beautifully. On the count of 1, 2, 3, rip them off, rip them off.
Should we take him off?
Off,
Steven. What about it now? Should I take him off? Put him back on, please.
Oh, okay.
So,
did you see his wiener?
Yeah.
It was spectacular.
Was it exceptional?
You know what? I never has someone like Tyra made sexuality so disgusting. I mean, I remember in the 90s when I actually thought she was kind of hot, but... You get to see her real personality on this show, and I'm just disgusted by her.
Why does she have to say booties all the time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. Why can't she say that our jeans, they just don't fit us right? We're going to talk to somebody who
they don't flatter your figure or whatever.
For our booties.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to make everything so goofy, like, oh my god, the booty. It's like, you know what, honey? Shut up.
All right.
Shut up. No one wants to hear what you have to say. Certainly I don't. I
mean, she spent years with somebody else dressing her, so she has no clue herself.
Hey.
Yeah, now she's the end all be all.
They are all dead wrong for our booties.
Yes, they're all dead wrong for our booties. Okay.
I hate her. I hate her with such a flaming passion that I feel like I'm going to explode with hate.
Bill, no.
I'm sorry. I'll calm down.
I am the queen!
Go swim with some dolphins, bitch.
All right, American Idol, let's check it out. Yeah.
Beautiful lady, wow. Your body.
Ryan, can you come and sweep it up?
Do you want to grab that for you? Just sweep it up. Off you go. Because we've got to hurry up. Long day. Do you know, I would feel uncomfortable without letting you do your job.
That was patronizing to a woman. Patronizing to a woman.
Sorry that he's trying to take your work.
Are we still on camera? Are we still on camera? Let me do that for you. Come on. I don't allow women to do things like that.
I don't think Cole, I don't think he's ever done this in his life.
Oh, my God, he doesn't even know how to hold it right.
He doesn't know how to hold it.
What do I do with this?
He
doesn't know how to hold what right. What is going on in this clip, Foggy?
Foggy,
you told me this was gold. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Do you know what this is called?
By the way, I apologize that he was patronizing to you and Ruth. Again, really apologize for that disgraceful behavior.
Okay, the cameras are off.
Are the cameras off? Right, it's all yours.
Oh, that's so funny. He's acting so proper and British, and then when the camera's off, he's back to being mean.
Now, did you guys see on Conan? Jon Stewart, and Stephen Colbert all had a cross event on their shows where they each appeared on each other's shows where they're having this feud.
Yes, it's all called We Don't Have Writers, so let's do something.
Yeah, they don't have writers, so they're having fun. Conan went to Jon Stewart and then showed up at Colbert's, and they were all going to fight. So finally, they both show up on Conan's, and they just get in this ridiculous fist fight, and stuff's flying around. It's pretty funny. Let's just check this out.
Hey, I've had it. Enough already. Enough! If I see either one of these guys, I'm going to kick some serious Comedy Central ass. Right, everybody? I mean, that's just what's going to happen.
Someone
Woo! Oh my God, look, it's Colbert!
Let's do it!
I love it!
Let's do it!
Come on!
Let's go! Let's go! Right now!
Right
now
here!
You go!
Come on!
Through here!
Let's go!
Come on!
Let's go here! Let's go behind the door so we can play the tape!
Yeah! What do we do? Just imagine them beating up each other, Steven. I did like the Rocky III ending, Bill.
Yeah, that was good.
They all punch each other at the same time.
Else, it is stop motion.
But it was a lot of fun. It showed that they...
Now that's funny.
They all do live shows, so they had a lot of fun there. It's really cool.
Anything Rocky-inspired is funny.
And only something like that will happen when they don't have writers, you know? Just say, hey, let's create a fake, like, feud where we're bitching about each other on each other's shows. You know what's funny is there's this horrible show called Dance War, Bill, on ABC.
Oh, good Lord.
It's two...
Bruno versus Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. Two of the judges from Dancing with the Stars, but... They did a cross promotional thing this week too. It's hosted by the Lachey, Drew Lachey, and it's got the Bachelor. He's just hanging out there. The worst thing is like, hey, we got a special guest. And the camera pans over, and there's the Bachelor kind of standing there on his new show. You know,
it's the Lachey.
No one knows who the Bachelor is because the show hasn't started yet. So it's like, hey,
oh yeah, you're right.
So when they're talking to the guy, listen to the dullest interview you've ever heard. It's genius.
Joining us tonight is a guy who knows all about sending somebody home. He's from London, but he's come here to America to find the love of his life on TV. It's the star of the new season of The Bachelor, Matt Grant. Welcome.
Oh, Barry.
Matt Grant.
Very similar to this show. On your show, you have to send someone home every week. How is that decision for you?
Oh, it is ridiculously hard. It's ridiculously hard, and... you know, I've been put in this very privileged position with 25 amazingly beautiful American women. And you know what? It's a combination of going with your
really
heart
selling
and your head.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
I want to watch
to get
it.
As much information about
very enthused.
The individual, their lives, what makes them tick, what makes them laugh.
What makes you want to wank off to them?
Wow.
Like, they must like pork pies.
Yeah, what the hell, man? It's so
and
awkward. It,
like,
do you like
sunny.
How it's a live audience. The whole place goes to a whisper. All this guy's talking. He's just like, man, this is death. Drew Lachey's like sweat, got sweat beads on his forehead. So
I'll marry any girl that knows what a Cornish pasty is.
Yeah. The only thing I know about Project Runway, the only thing I saw was that our favorite guy, gay Christian.
Gay Christian.
He's a gay Christian?
Well, his name is Christian and he's gay, but he's our favorite gay guy on the show because of his ridiculous voice. But he decides to arm wrestle one of the chicks. Let's check it out.
I can't believe I haven't arm wrestled any of you.
You want to arm wrestle right now?
Like it matters?
Come over here, you skinny arm twit. Ready? Go.
Oh, my shoe's sliding.
If I lose, I die.
Yes, I would have won. Oh my God, I'm so tired now.
Did she beat you?
No, I won. I'm beast, you guys. You just don't know.
Wow. he's quite a beast, isn't he?
I'm beast. Oh.
I'm a beast, you guys. You just don't know.
I love that guy's voice, though.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm going to arm wrestle someone. Oh.
Now, okay, on Celebrity Apprentice, I thought last week was a very entertaining episode.
Yes.
This week had some entertaining stuff at the beginning. I started losing interest in their task, which was to do a window display for a mattress for Vera Wang or whatever. But here is probably the most interesting part is when Stephen Baldwin goes to see Trump and tell him he wants to quit, which I thought was kind of weird.
Stephen Baldwin is such a freaking idiot.
Let's check this out.
He has absolutely no integrity whatsoever.
So what's going on?
At this point, Mr. Trump, working with peers is just not a possibility.
Don't tell me you want to quit.
Well, if I may, respectfully, sir.
Don't go home a loser. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It's going to affect you.
I was resigning for the same reasons as Vinny.
No, Vinny didn't resign for the same reasons. Whether you like it or not,
but
Vinny got beaten up by peers.
And I've been beaten up by peers, too. Honestly.
Oh, baby. Go to the other side and beat him. I could put you on impresario if you think it's important. I think that's a lot better. And then you can kick his ass. You ever think big, kick ass, right?
Let's go.
You like that?
I do that in a
second. I like it, too. I'm going to put you on the other side.
Excellent.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank
get
you.
Him.
Good.
Thank you.
Go get him.
And I love... Yeah, he didn't get him. They failed.
Yeah.
But I love when the women are like, we don't really want Stephen Baldwin on our team. He goes, well, I make the decisions. He's on the team.
Yeah. But also, it's so funny. Like, they puts him on the team, and then he's not there because he has a speaking engagement.
So the whole thing was a big about nothing, you know? Big
yeah.
To-do about nothing.
And the women, you know, you think they would be a little more intuitive with the whole Vera Wang task, ask the right questions and all. But instantly they're like, oh, Vera Wang, wedding stuff. Even though she's promoting a frigging mattress, let's do wedding stuff. Because
yeah.
When I think mattress, I think wedding.
Where did the hell?
I think wedding night.
Where the hell did what's his face? What the black guy? Or was it Trace Adkins? Where did he get Cleopatra?
Well, you know, I don't know how he came up with the world's greatest romances, but it worked.
He was like
and
one of the world's
they
greatest
won
romances.
Pretty hands down.
One of the world's greatest romances was Cleopatra and Antony.
Well, did you notice he goes Cleopatra and Mark Antony? I was like, Antony?
I believe he's married to Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I believe he is. Mark Antony.
But actually, I like that guy. He does have a great voice.
He's probably the smartest guy next to Piers on that show.
Yeah, I don't understand why there's all the... They had the little Piers against Omarosa, and she dumps a drink on his head, which showed that he got the best of her because the
exactly.
only retort she had was, oh, I'll just dump a drink on his head.
He's an idiot, or she's an idiot. She just, I'm waiting for her to get voted off, and then I'll stop watching.
Well, the guy,
because I just can't stand her.
Piers, he's there to entertain himself. It seems like he's there to play for the cameras. It's all an act. Maybe, you know, it's probably all an act.
Where is he from? What is he from? What does he do?
He has been a tabloid editor, like a gossip columnist in some of the biggest papers in London. And
he's
a tacky
guy who says tacky things.
Okay, so yes. So I mean, he's got he doesn't care.
He's doing what's expected of him.
Yeah,
he's doing it for basically he's doing it because he's on America's Next or America's Got Talent, and he wants to draw.
Once Gene Simmons was gone, if Piers wasn't on the show right now, it would be even duller than it already is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They need to have some conflict in there. They need to have that. They need to have Steven versus Piers right now.
Well, and Steven, he's just such a pious, hypocritical douchebag. I mean, it's like the whole, oh, I need to quit because I can't work with Piers anymore. Yet, last week you were saying how great you and Piers worked together and how you should start a business.
It seemed like a weird play to just get an extra spot on the camera or something.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, I thought it was funny that Omarosa wanted to bring Stephen Baldwin, and Trump was like, I can't have you do that. He wasn't there for when you came up with the task. Yeah. He just showed up for the end of it. You can't get rid of him.
Just it's like, so funny okay. How everyone is making it so personal.
Yeah.
You're playing for a charity. It's right. Not like this is for a job or something.
It's just, you know, just make it entertaining. That's all I'm saying. I know they're not really trying to be The Apprentice or anything. Just make it entertaining. I thought this task of dressing a window was pretty lame, but...
Yeah, it was weak, but entertaining.
Let's talk about something that's not lame, and that's Smallville.
Yes.
With the Black Canary. The episode opens up with Chloe. She's downloading some stuff for Green Arrow now, because he pays her, unlike Clark.
On her super fake graphical user interface Mac Windows compilation.
Well, one thing is a knife hits her desk, and she immediately goes, I'm in danger, run! And here's the...
I'm in danger, run!
There's this kick-ass encounter she has with the Black Canary on the roof when Green Arrow shows up. Let's check it out. It's genius.
Come on, is this when you're supposed to swoop in and save me? No pepper spray?
Who are you?
This is a dangerous place. You should be prepared. You can have my wallet. You know that's not what I'm after.
You can have my wallet. Take my Prius.
Next time, maybe you'll think twice before you steal what doesn't belong to you.
She does have great knives. Shing!
I like the look.
Italian?
Why? You thinking of trading in your tights?
Yeah, that's some witty dialogue. But another thing...
There was a part where they're fighting, and they... It's like, shing, shing, shang, shing. Like, yeah. She's pulling out knives, he's pulling out arrows, and I was cracking up.
Well, I don't remember Black Canary even having knives in the comic book. Or having super jumps over she's going...
No, all I remember
the sonic,
is her scream.
The sonic chirp.
That's her voice. She goes, scream! And it deafened you, but in this it was like, whoa!
and it would I loved the bullet effects, that you know, the slow time thing that they would do with her. That was so
It's the
great.
Same effect Clark does when he blows or he hears or anything. It's all...
Well, they must have sunk a huge amount of their budget into it, because there were multiple scenes of bullet time.
Did you like her feathery eye makeup, like Chris and Blade Runner, like you said?
It's like she had an airbrush, and how did she get it on and off so fast?
I don't know, man.
Did she have a wet towel in her back pocket that she could get it off?
She got the little wet naps.
I love it. Chloe has that instant program where she could give her short hair, let me just, her hair is blonde now, and it's short. Oh, that's her! You're like,
look,
man.
It's her!
It's
Chloe. Hey, look, I can put a feathery black mask on her!
Cool! You can implement your programs with anything with your friggin' database.
I drew this template earlier.
You have a daily plan.
And I like her, oh, look, there's a data transfer, the money transfer going on to this account right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it shows.
Let me just stop it.
I love it. It says IP from IP 2 with the bar loading up. Hey, let me slow it down. I thought it'd be funny if they showed it stop and then go backwards. Hey, the money's coming back.
I didn't know that it took time for money to transfer. I didn't know there was like a whole timeout bar.
Yeah. I know when whenever you're doing bank stuff, because they have that bar there.
Only 80% of the bar, only 80% of the money transferred.
Because they only load a penny at a time, apparently. It's like ching, 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 ching. You're change flying in there.
It's a dollar
it's
at a time.
It's electronic change.
So basically, Black Canary's working for Lex to stop Green Arrow, who is a terrorist that he's told her. Apparently, she's never heard anything about Lex Luthor. She thinks he's on the up
and
up.
Has no idea.
Dumbest superhero ever.
Wait, she's a reporter who has never looked up Lex Luthor.
Oh, and they go out of their way to say she's a big-time conservative radio host. Conservative columnist, like
the voice of justice.
So yeah, she does a radio show, and she's basically Ann Coulter by day, but then Black Canary at night or something. Oh, but
I always thought Ann Coulter walked the streets at night,
or she would fall between cracks because she's so skinny, like she did in the sewer. Now, it doesn't seem like anyone remembers Grant Gabriel except for Lionel, who apparently.
Yeah, I love how Lois Lane is like, oh, the Green Arrow's back. Oh, I need to throw myself at him.
Yeah.
Wait, Grant Gabriel's dead? Who?
He was the love of your life. Come on.
I like how, nobody, you know, how everybody, you know, it's like Clark will go and hey, I got stung by some bees. Oh, somebody must be controlling bees, so we have to stop them.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody murdered this guy. Let's not look for him at all.
Yeah, they don't care.
Wait, the guy that ran the Daily Planet is dead?
Not only that, Lionel's like, I need proof, Lana, and I'm going to blackmail you. You already know who did it. You don't need proof. Give me a break. Like, he couldn't pull his own strings to get copies. Yeah. He would have already had someone raid her lab or computer thing, taking every hard drive, scanning over it. But instead, he wants her to do all the work, so he blackmails her because she didn't tell Clark all this crap. And then she tells Clark that, okay, here's the crap he's blackmailing. I just wanted to be truthful. And he goes, hey, we never see eye to eye anymore. Are we still in love? Blah, 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 whatever. It's just whatever. But the best part of the whole episode is this. Oh, it's genius. Let's check it out.
You put Chloe in danger.
So I take it we're skipping over the whole, hello, good to see you again, part of the conversation.
If you and your crew want to go out there and put your own lives on the line, that's fine. Go ahead. But not Chloe. Smart doesn't help when someone's trying to attack you on a rooftop.
First of all, I don't think our leather fetish mystery woman was trying to kill Chloe.
She shouldn't have been in danger at all.
Secondly, Chloe's in danger like every other week with you by her side, Clark.
You're the one who goes into things without giving it a second thought.
God, these are true
thespians. Why don't you try to think about someone other than yourself for once?
I'm selfish? You know, some of us sacrifice being with the people that we really care about so that we can go make a difference.
Oh, what do you do?
You sit around in domestic bliss curled up on a couch. While the world of
I'm watching my stories!
I can't help it. I'm addicted to Pimp My Ride.
He totally had him on. He's like, oh, he got me on that one.
My father died!
Come on, woman. Chloe said she shattered your arrows.
Don't change the subject, Clark.
But, yeah. She must have some kind of sound frequency control.
Some kind of sound.
All the noise went muffled right before it happened.
The file she stole, Chloe said she didn't know what it was.
I didn't tell her what it was. We've intercepted Lex's latest project. It's a photo file.
And this masked woman just happened to show up.
It's a picture.
Maybe Lex has a blonde sidekick of his own.
Keira Knightley nip slip.
Yeah. Off of TMZ. Wow.
It's a photo file. Made myself clear.
What the hell does that mean?
You only use violence if you were in danger.
Hey, it was great to have him back, though.
Well, what's funny is, if you listen back to that clip, the guy that plays the Green Arrow has actually become a better actor in the time that he started on the show.
He has. Than
Clark has since the entire time he's been on the show.
Green Arrow's very first appearance on Smallville was this line.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
It's like the worst line read I've ever heard.
And now every line read like that sounds like the Tom Welling.
The guy is the Laurence Olivier of Smallville, is he not?
He is. He has progressed to that stature.
Yeah, I laughed so hard. I was sitting there watching TV the other night and this arrow came across on the WB. I was like, oh my God, the Green Arrow. I had to text Jason to let him know that.
I was like, hell yes, mother.
Are they going to start the Oliver Queen Chronicles again?
But Black Canary, I didn't think they showed well enough just how piercing her Black Canary scream is. Just check this out. Jesus! Oh, man, it's scary. Breaks all the glass in the building. What I think is funny is there's a part where she's going to have a word with Lex in his office. Clark shows up, and he goes, no, you're not going in there. And she's like, oh, who are you? And they get into a fight. She shatters all the glass. Not once does Lex, like, stick his head out, like, what the hell is going on?
What just broke all my glass?
She's like, whoa!
Was when she goes bullet time kick, and then it comes to real time, and she goes flying backwards. Like, he threw her.
That was hilarious.
How come that wasn't bullet time, too?
They ran out of money.
But what was great is he's like, oh, he's covering his ears, and you see blood coming out of his ears. And then when they cut to later, he's with Chloe, and his ears are cleaned up. It's just like, oh, we fill in the gaps here. He got up, he cleaned his ears off, he went to go visit Chloe and go get her and show up later.
Yeah, they can't show everything.
And the whole thing is like, listen, dummy. Lex is bad. We're the good guys. She goes, no, I don't believe you. And takes off.
I need to find out for myself.
No! I guess I would fall to the ground with bleeding.
Wipeout!
So the best part is when they show up to Lex's later, and he's going to kill Black Canary, I think. And
the solution to everything.
Green Arrow saves her. He jumps in. He intervenes. And all of a sudden, if you've ever seen the movie Equilibrium with Christian Bale, there's a fight that he has with the bad guy at the end.
Hey, Diggs.
What is this? Angus McFadden.
Angus McFadden.
From Braveheart. He's Robert the Bruce. He's a bad guy at the end. And they fight with this thing called Gun Kata, which is karate with guns. All of a sudden, Green Arrow and Lex know Gun Kata at the end. And they're going,
but every time the gun fires, it goes into bullet time.
Yeah, and it, like, one hits one of the security guards, and you see Lex like, oh crap, I just saw one of my...
When they do it, you know, at first I thought it was some weird, like, a taser gun, because you shoot out this, like, a 2-foot laser looking beam comes out of
it's hitting
that was the arrow that was the bow, the crossbow that Green Arrow was using,
and also the bullets hit every knickknack Lex has in his office, doesn't it? Like,
and they're all strategically placed to shatter.
But the best part is, okay, he's gonna shoot Green Arrow, Green Arrow's gonna shoot him. Gonna shoot.
That was the best part. He stands up after he gets knocked down and crosses his arms with
the gun. He's got two guns.
And he doesn't spread his arms.
He gets the gun knocked out of his hand. He flings through the air where his hands both grab two guns. And he's like, oh, I've seen plenty of John Woo movies. I'm going to cross my arm. And he goes, and the bullets are flying through the air, one towards Black Canary. She's throwing a knife. So a knife, an arrow, two bullets.
Yeah.
Then Clark busts in. He kind of scans the area for a second. He's like, okay, knock that arrow down. Knock this bullet down. You know what? I'm going to let that knife keep flying and let it hit Lex in the hand.
You know what? You know what, Lex? You need a little nut steel in your shoulder.
Yeah, and then he just takes Black Canary and I guess carries her away.
Yeah,
and
he just whips her away.
So all of a sudden,
yeah, there's no excuse. All of a sudden, he's gone, she's gone, and Lex is like, oh, no.
And you're telling me they can't find enough dirt to put Lex away for life after all of this crap. They never can. Oh, the photo file got away, I guess, and all that kind of stuff. And
man, I really wanted to see that nip slip.
Lois figures out that he's the Green Arrow and all that. So.
Yeah, that was an awful scene also.
Yeah. Oh, look over here. Oh,
yeah,
oh, Chloe, Clark.
Oh, and there's a great scene where she won't shut up when she's tied up. And so finally Black Canary goes, knocks her unconscious and goes, how can you put up with that? And I was like, thank you. Thank you, TV show. But, yeah, it's all
easy.
Great.
I put earplugs in my ears and make her get naked.
So how much time do we have before the break, Bill? You keep
probably about 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay, let's talk Friday Night Lights and then Lost. Or how about Lost and Friday Night Lights?
Hey, it's up to you, man.
Let's talk about Lost. That's fresher on my mind because I just watched it last night.
Okay.
Fun episode. Great opening. Footage of the Oceanic Flight 15 underwater with ROV cameras.
Yes.
They introduced...
James Cameron was down there looking for Titanic.
Big geek and little geek. They've introduced some new characters who had flashbacks, actually. They're doing the flash forwards now, but they have flashbacks.
The Lawnmower Man.
The most interesting Jeff Fahey was back. I kept telling my wife, I was like, man, it's great to see Jeff Fahey. And she was like, that's not Jeff Fahey. And I goes, yes, it is. It's just like, how can you argue with me? Come on.
That is the Fahey.
All I do is watch TV shows and watch movies. It's Jeff Fahey.
Wasn't he just in Planet Terror, though?
Yeah. He's a great underused actor.
He is a good underused actor. He's in far too many B movies.
I hope he's
I just saw him in another B movie. I can't remember what it was.
Same with Michael Biehn. He's been put into far too many B movies.
It was something on sci-fi that he was.
My favorite being the Omega Code 2.
Right. I just hope that he sticks around a while because also they showed that he would have been the pilot of 815, but the real pilot. I like that scary phone call. He's like, that's not the pilot. She goes, let me transfer you. And just like everything is covered up and kind of creepy with these companies. The guy who can talk to
people. Well,
they show
like the whole plane underwater, but yet part of the plane's on the beach, you know?
Well,
it's obviously been faked.
Yeah.
And again, like he said, that's not the pilot. The pilot I know never takes off his ring.
And then the flashback.
So who are these people that they killed to...
Right. Well, the other thing is the flashback with Naomi and the black guy, the mysterious black man, which I think is genius for them to introduce one.
Every show needs a mysterious black
man. She goes, what if there are survivors from 815 there? He goes, no, they're all dead. You've seen them on the plane. They're all dead. So was he even fooled by that and he doesn't know?
No, he knows.
He's part of it.
Remember, he shows up to Hurley and says, you know, how many people are still alive? You know,
That's interesting there, that guy. Who the hell that guy is. Maybe that's the guy working for...
Well, who the hell are any of them at this point?
But the interesting one is the guy who can talk to dead people, apparently. He's like a Ghostbuster.
Miles.
He's got that
He's the Asian Haley Joel Osment.
He's got the vacuum cleaner thing, and he's charging the lady $200, which it does nothing. It's just supposed to be flashy, I guess.
Does it make noise?
It creates a frequency that helps him... connect to the dead, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. He didn't have it on the island when
he had to sit there a little bit longer, though.
Chanting something.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. He got money from a wall. He was talking to this
drug
murdered kid. I don't know what that was all about.
That was some pretty heroin, that yellow heroin. I like that. I need to get a hold of some of that.
Oh, my God, Bill.
Very pretty. I don't want to do anything with it. I just want to look at it and put it in my register.
Oh, okay. Now, they also have the chick who finds the skeleton of the polar bear with the Hydra Dharma. That was pretty trippy, and it was in Tunisia.
Yeah, that was cool.
Basically, it was on Tatooine where she found it because it was in Tunisia.
Yes, it was Tunisia. And that was isn't that where the mysterious black man's from, Tunisia?
Yeah, I guess so.
So is that where the Dharma Initiative starts in Tunisia?
But I'm trying to think, do you think they're from Dharma or are they from a separate group? Like an offshoot, radical group.
No, because I think they're probably like they're like the off-island Dharma hiding the on-island Dharma group. You know what I'm saying?
What I want to know is why they need Ben. Let's crack open this mystery box.
So originally there were inhabitants on the island. The Dharma Initiative came and were always at war with these people, fighting them off, trying to stay on the island. Eventually, Ben helped them, and they gassed and killed all the Dharma Initiative people, and they were
okay,
dead.
Yeah, you're right.
So they obviously couldn't get back in touch with somebody. Those people were probably wondering, what happened to our scientists? We lost communication. They're obviously dead.
The Dharma Initiative wants control of the island again.
And the island has some mysterious properties.
I'm not saying that's them. But for some reason, they couldn't communicate with them, but now they can. And it most likely because of the event that destroyed the hatch and all that kind of stuff. Now, the interesting thing here is the whole let's kind of trust these people. They might be up to no good, but let's get their helicopter and leave with Jack. Also, there's the stuff with Locke where he doesn't trust them at all, but they talk with the girl. And the part where Ben shoots her, that was a good scene. How many times have we seen the whole bulletproof vest?
Yeah. But, that's a great lost device.
But you know what? Terry O'Quinn sold it where he was like in shock that she was alive. Like, what the? It's a vest like they have. But they kept like, it's just a matter of time. And I thought it was great how Sawyer said, it's just a matter of time before he turns the tables on us. Let's kill him.
I loved when he called Ben Yoda, though. That made me laugh. Yeah,
and you even see Ben kind of like smirk at that. He goes, Yoda?
Yeah.
I love
Sawyer. They must get Star Wars there on the island.
Sawyer is such a great character. That's another thing. This show, the characters are so rounded out that we know who they are by now. We know who Ben, we even know what Ben is up to. We know that you can't trust him. When Locke says he knows more about this island than any of us, it's like, you're never going to get him to tell you any of it. And I love the part he goes, prove you know something. What is the smoke monster? He's like, I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's a hard question to start out with.
But I also liked how they explained Walt getting older.
Right. Oh, that was a great scene. He goes, who told you? And he goes, Walt. He goes, Walt? Yeah, only he was bigger. Whoa, he's like a giant. I thought that was great, too. He got all the good lines. The scene where Hurley said something about the cabin. And both Ben and Locke are kind of like, huh? And he gets, oh, I mean the airplane cabin. It's like obvious he's lying. So they know something's up there. But I'm forgetting about one of the other. The scientist guy who's twitchy. There's that guy, too. And for some reason, when he sees on the news that they found the oceanic people, he starts crying.
Yeah.
And I guess it's his wife saying, "What? Why are you crying?" He's like, I don't know. That was
he
weird.
Looks familiar. Where have we seen him before?
That's Oppum from Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's the pacifist soldier. He's a great actor. He's one of those underused actors that will never be like a lead, but he's great.
I've seen him in a number of things and always liked him in them.
The show finds good, solid actors, even the ones that they've killed off, like Mr. Echo and stuff. They
need to bring Michael Biehn on the show.
Hey, maybe they will. They'll have him in a flashback. Remember, they even worked in Robert Patrick in that first season when he was a guy who met up with Sawyer. They find a way to bring good actors into the show. And I'm anxious to see, they tease us, we'll find another member of the Oceanic Six.
Next week.
It's like, you don't need to tease us. We know there's only six episodes left. We're going to watch it, okay? But it's good stuff. How much time we have till break, Bill?
Go ahead and put us to break.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back, guys.
Gentlemen, thank you for your interest in performing at the Stucky Bowl 75th birthday party. Please state the name of your combo.
The Warren Cheswick Experience.
A few brief background questions. Would you each please identify your favorite Beatle?
John.
Paul.
George.
George.
And your all-time favorite recording artist?
Led Zeppelin.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Phil Collins, accept no substitutes.
If hired for the party, you will be expected to play requests on short notice. Please now perform Everybody Plays the Fool by The Main Ingredient.
First.
You're hired, gentlemen.
And now, our last act of the evening. Please welcome the Warren Cheswick Experience, featuring guest vocalist Phil Stubbs.
Sometimes I feel like a man without a home. Just my guitars and my memories and the highways that I roam. But then I do remember a place I call.
baby, when no one feels alone. So soothe my soul, now study room. Yeah, soothe my soul, now study room. Oh, yeah, I said soothe my soul, now study room.
In the van.
Remember when I said people shouldn't hide their feelings? I was so wrong.
I am a golden god! Be good to each other!
Hey, Talk Radio X listeners. This is Mulberry Bill from Nowhere in Mulberry. Tune in to Nowhere in Mulberry every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific to hear the Chase Room, Steven, the pop culture seller, Vanessa the news girl, and me, Mulberry Bill, discuss the latest in TV, movies, and geek and pop culture.
Hey, I've had it. Enough already. Enough!
All right, so also on Lost, before we move on to Friday Night Lights, do you remember on the season finale, or it might even been the episode before the season finale, there's still some others there. Remember they were going to the temple?
Yeah.
And where are they at right now? I guess they're at the temple.
They're at the temple.
what I wonder also, like, I don't know how big the island is. Obviously, it's big. But whenever there's explosions or gunshots, can you hear them on the other side of the island or no?
Probably not.
Sure, it looks like it.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like you would, wouldn't you?
I don't think it's that big. I would have to say maybe it's a couple miles across, maybe 2 or 3 miles.
Maybe they're used. I mean, I know the jungle is loud.
I mean, you know they're. You know they're. I mean, obviously we know where they're using Oahu to film on, and it's a big island.
Right. So I'm just saying.
Well, it's called the Big Island, right?
Or no, is that Hawaii? That's
because
Hawaii.
Remember there was the last season when Jack is in a cage and he sees the stewardess and he's like, "What are you guys doing?" She goes, "We're waiting."
And yeah,
goes,
what?
And he's like, "What are you waiting for?" She says, "To basically witness something." And I don't know.
Yeah,
what it is.
I don't think we'll ever witness whatever they're waiting for.
And they're saying something about I don't know. Maybe they'll tell us eventually. But also, okay, so these people have come to the island and they're really there for Ben. But also, remember, Naomi had a picture of Desmond also. So what's that
about? Yeah. Yet they weren't Penny's boat. So yeah. I don't know. That's crazy.
So, hey, we'll talk more about it next week. Now, let's talk about
Friday. So confusing.
Next week, we'll probably talk about the last Friday Night Lights in a long time. Okay?
Yeah. If ever.
If ever.
Yeah, if ever, which sucks.
We'll definitely do a recap episode of the this season so far.
What's interesting about Friday Night Lights is it has a cast of characters that I love. I love everybody on the show, the way everyone's written. And it kind of reminds me, for the musical break, I played a clip from the show Ed, Bill.
Yes.
And that was one of those shows where I just loved Ed. I loved the characters. I loved the town it took place, Stuckeyville. And it's kind of like it's in that world. Friday Night Lights is that world that you it seems real.
And you want to live in it.
And you want to live there and you want to know these people. And it's just such a great show. There's this whole thing where Landry is dating what we call her the nerdy chick.
The nerdy cute girl.
The cute.
Oh, she cute.
She's talking about, hey, I found some Mystery Science Theaters on YouTube we can watch. And I was like, hey, it's true love, man.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
In love with
right there. I was like, can I marry her?
If you won't take her, Landry, I will. And they even show them, they go to see Jaws. Come on.
That's my girl there.
Like
see.
Thrash metal and death metal. And
they go to see at the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, I know. That was like nice. I mean, they can't exactly say we're in the fictional Dylan when they show the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, Tyra, and she has this talk with her mom where she says, "I was always in it for the competition. I always competed for a man with another girl. It's just I'm good at it. That's what I do." And Tyra doesn't want to be anything like her mom, but at the same time, this is driving her crazy. Landry with this other girl. Do you believe she generally has feelings for Landry? I think she does. But at the same time,
she does, but she's confused by them.
Yeah.
When she said that it scares me how much I like you, it doesn't seem the kind of thing you do in high school. I like you so much, but what's going on?
She's still very emotionally immature.
Right, and who wouldn't be with her crazy mother?
And with what's happened
and
to her.
Sister,
what,
and she's dated guys like Riggins who treat her bad. But
didn't nearly rape.
You expect someone to treat you bad, and Landry treats her great. And he's treating, this other girl likes Landry for who he is. And maybe she's kind of seeing what it could be like if she dated him or whatever. And she does that where she's like, "I really like you. I think I want to get back together with you. What would you think of that?" And he's like, "I'm on a date." He's like, "I'm on a date right now."
And then
now.
The beginning of, I want to say, sorry, you haven't seen
have
this,
not,
Bill. Sorry,
no,
can't
do
talk.
Not reference
shut
it.
Your mouth.
I know, that's why I shut.
Steven,
I shut.
Just cast it out of your brain. It hasn't happened yet. No,
it hasn't happened yet.
When Tyra's like, "Okay, well, I'll just talk to you later." And she leaves, and the girl immediately comes up and kisses Landry, plants one on his lips. On his lips, and it's like, okay, the competition's on.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, Tyra thinks it's a game, it seems like, to her.
Well, then
Landry's, like, in the best position possible.
Well, at that scene where you're like, what? Landry's got two girls competing for him. It's genius. But also, all the stuff with, what do you guys think of the Smash storyline? The whole thing of the college pulling out because he's on the news because he punched some white kid. Do you think it doesn't matter if he's white or whatever, but he didn't seem regretful of it on the news?
It's slightly unrealistic.
It's exaggerated because we see guys who are prospects all the time. They test positive for marijuana.
No, we've seen guys that have killed their girlfriends, and some of them are still playing football.
Yeah, that's why I think this is so silly. He punched a kid in the nose. He didn't cause any damage. He didn't send him to the hospital. But this college is – no college is interested in him. It seems like his career is ruined, which I can understand what they're saying here. They're doing it in this small, tiny world, this microcosm. This is what caused his college career to end so quick. It's just an example. It could have been anything, but they didn't want Smash, the character we know and love, to do anything too horrible. But he was basically dating a white girl. He went to a theater, not on his side of town. Took his sister. She was getting teased. I do think it's horrible how his sister's being teased, though, on the phone and stuff. She didn't ask for that. But I will say I do love Smash's mom. Great actress. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't see how she hasn't been recognized.
She was really good in this episode tonight, Bill. I'll just tell you that.
Every time I see her
in an episode and she starts to tear up, I start to tear up.
No, I'm just saying, tonight she was good in this episode. That's all I'll tell you.
No, Steven, I'm editing it all out. No, no more.
I'm not saying anything about it.
Stop, Steven. No, the part where Smash is tearing all the stuff off his wall from the college and she just goes, "I believe in you." That's, like, powerful because he knows his mom believes in him. He knows it's not all bad.
But that's all he needs.
But we also have the whole thing with the quarterback, Matt, who... okay, even though it's really sad that he's really... Basically, Carlotta left. Everyone leaves him or whatever. He's really sad and bummed. Him hanging out with Riggins and going to strip clubs and stuff. And that painful scene where at the restaurant drinking beer and he sees Lila and her goody-goody boyfriend. He's like, "I'm going to go say hi." It's just like, "Oh, I don't want to watch because it's so embarrassing." He's like, "What are y'all guys doing?" And he's just wasted. It's the middle of the day. She's like, "Shouldn't you be in school right now?" It's like... what did he say? "Are you going to school today?" And he goes, "I skip on Wednesdays." I love that. "I skip Wednesdays." And then they go to the strip club, and there's his poor grandmother. The weird, awkward scene where one of the dancers gives him a ride to the hospital, and he's wasted.
Yeah.
And don't you love when the coach shows up to pick her up, how excited the grandmother gets?
She's so sweet. I love that lady that plays his grandma.
Yeah, that's, everybody's great on this show.
They really are.
It's such a great
show. I mean,
you
believe it. You totally believe it. I'm totally bought into the fact that these people exist.
The idea that next week could be the last episode of Friday Night Lights that we talk about just makes me sad.
Once they get to the house and Coach grabs him and throws him in the
shower,
the bathroom tub, and turns the shower on and starts yelling at him, and he has that, finally comes out that he feels like what's wrong with him, everybody leaves him, Saracen, that is, that was great. I mean,
it's almost like they have to kind of get it out there, his storyline, because they don't have time. I have a feeling the writers know that their days are numbered, so, you know, he pretty much said that, you know, my father left me, or Julie left me for another guy, Carlotta left me, you left me when you went to another school, everybody leaves me. So he's like, what's wrong with me? And you feel bad for the guy. And you care about all the characters. Jason Street is one of my favorite characters. Riggins, you gotta love Riggins.
In Riggins we trust.
You love Buddy. Love
Streeter's roommate, too, is hilarious.
Yeah, Herc. It's a great show, and I'll miss it, but we'll talk about it again next week. So, Bill?
I would love to get somebody from the show on our show just to talk about it.
Even the writer.
I should have grabbed what's-his-name when I saw him.
Should have done it, Steven. You blew it. Now,
you know what? I subscribe to IMDb Pro. I'm going to send out some emails to the Friday Night Lights people.
Hopefully they get to at least finish the season with their original season order. That would be genius, wouldn't it?
That would be very nice.
Now, Bill, Vanessa still isn't with us. She's having internet problems with her computer and crap. She's having computer problems, so that's why so I need to ask you one more time to do the news. What do you say?
Okay.
Let's do it! Does not hold what right?
They are all dead wrong for our booties.
All right,
he doesn't know how to hold their booties.
Hearing her say booty makes me nauseous.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Ugh.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, a burglar in Florida looks better when he's on TV than when he's stealing one. Floridians are calling him the Droopy Drawers Bandit, a notorious thief stealing flat-screen TVs from different businesses, all while his pants struggle to stay tied at the waist. The burglaries have occurred after hours in Lauderdale Lakes and Pompano Beach, Florida. The Droopy Drawers breaks windows, storms through the business, steals the TVs, and flees the establishment so quickly that he's gone before anyone sees him. How can you steal a flat-screen TV and no one see you do it?
Well, how could you be named the Droopy Drawers Bandit if they don't see you?
Yeah, exactly. His fast pace allowed him to steal from one business, then cross the street and hit a second business before all authorities were arrived.
What is he doing with all these flat screens?
Yeah, pants at his knees aren't slowing down this bandit. Cops say the baggy bandit stole a bunch of flat screens from 20 Broward County businesses and hit 8 businesses in one night.
So what's his name? Never mind. Go ahead. I just totally blanked on it.
Oh.
Okay. I'm thinking of like the wet bandits from.
Okay.
So this guy
Steve, that's good stuff.
So this guy's obviously from the 90s.
But wait a second, Bill. This guy is stealing, like, bank plasmas and stuff. Those things suck. What are they even high def?
I think they're probably ED TVs, which are 480p.
They suck. But I guess
he's probably selling them on eBay. Well, really. I mean, what the hell do you need 20 plasmas for?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard from working in hospitals, guys come in and they're dressed in uniforms. They start messing with the big plasmas in the room. They'll take them off, walk right out the front door with them.
Really?
Of hospitals. It's like, damn it. People are in uniforms. Nobody questions you.
It's like, oh, that guy's doing
something.
Yeah,
but what about if you got baggy pants on?
As long as it looks like it's a uniform, they don't care.
It's like, wait, baggy pants? That's the Droopy George Bandit! Get him!
I didn't know guys still wore their pants like this. I thought this like went out when Chris Cross stopped jumping.
No, that's still...
Man, that's cold.
Really?
Still wearing a...
I guess your ass would be cold because it'd be hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, why would you ever do that?
I see it a lot.
Kick his ass. But you know what? The guy's a genius. Actually, he probably doesn't normally wear his pants there. He does it like that, so that's the only thing people notice.
Yeah, exactly. So people don't see the 50-inch plasma he's carrying. He
and
just sees
no one has
the,
ever seen his face either. Like, he's wearing droopy pants. That's droopy.
They're all attracted to his Joe boxers.
Yeah.
Come over here, you skinny arm twit.
All right. A Pottsville man. Pottsville, that's a great town. I live in Pottsville. A Pottsville man allegedly persuaded a 15-year-old girl that he was part werewolf and part vampire before sexually assaulting her.
Huh?
Police also say Christian Allen Carl, 19, was convinced he was a supernatural mixed breed. Oh, my God.
Has he been watching that Underworld?
Someone watched Evolution, or what the hell was that called? Underworld Evolution.
Underworld.
I'm part lichen, part vampire.
Lichen.
He convinced himself he was a hybrid, said Pottsville Police Sergeant James Jews. He loves Jews, by the way. He had convinced the girl he was, too.
I love Jews, too. They make me happy.
Yes, all kinds of flavors. To prove to police he was indeed a genuine vampire werewolf, he showed his canine teeth to the sergeant. I let him know that all mammals, including humans, have canine teeth, says Sergeant Juice. Son, everyone has those. Carl, Juice said, also told police he was a guardian dragon that protected him. He has a guardian dragon that protected him from evildoers. Wow.
I love juice. Juice makes me happy. It's nothing like a cold cup of juice.
But Carl's story dissolved when Juice shed some light on the subject.
Juice?
Yes, Juice. Carl was charged with statutory sexual assault after admitting he had sexual intercourse with a girl who told police he was her boyfriend on November 14th, according to an affidavit of probable cause. Carl knew the girl's age and was aware that he could get in trouble for having sex with a girl under age 16. Sorry. So, hey, if you want to get laid by, young girls, just say you're part werewolf, part vampire.
That's disturbing.
I'm part lichen.
If he was full lichen, it wouldn't have happened.
No. Only whenever you're half and you turn blue and have white eyes.
And look like Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. And kill Bill Nighy.
Yes, that's very important.
Why would you kill Bill Nighy?
Big hot mess.
Half of United Kingdom men say they would swap sex for a 50-inch TV. So that's what this guy's doing with those flat screens.
They would change to a woman? Or they would...
They would stop sex entirely.
Oh, they would stop having sex just to have the
TV? No, they wouldn't actually swap their sexes. They would just swap sex. Nearly half of British men surveyed would give up sex for 6 months in return for a 50-inch plasma, a survey perhaps unsurprisingly carried out for a firm selling, televisions? Electric retailer Comet surveyed 2,000 Britons, asking them, what would they give up for a large television, one of the consumer must-haves? The firm found 47% of men who would give up sex for half a year compared to just over a third of women. It seems that size really does matter for men more than men.
It's also a total lie. It's a lie. Because the guy, as soon as he gets the TV, he's like, I was lying. I want some sex.
No, you know what he would
especially
do? He would,
I watched
he would just
porn
watch
on a big
high def porn on his new TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, you could say it all you want, but once you have the TV, all bets are off. It's like, I got the TV. You're not taking it back.
Yeah.
Plus, they could grasturbate anyway, couldn't they?
They could.
Grasturbate. What, rub their genitals in grass?
She's yes. not a zombie.
No, that's my rated G word.
Oh, grasturbate.
Yeah. Like, instead of penis, I'd say greenus.
You could say master debaters.
That's true.
Anyway.
Crazy bitch.
Hey!
Scarlett Johansson has a steamy lesbian scene with Penelope Cruz and Woody Allen's upcoming Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Very nice breasts.
You're telling me.
Now, wait a second. Woody Allen, how many times has he worked with Scarlett Johansson now?
I think he's mesmerized by her boobs as much as anyone else.
Because has he gotten sick of Sun Yi by now?
Wouldn't get sick of Sun Yi. Send her back to Vietnam or wherever she comes from.
Back to Mia.
Is he still with, is he still with Sun Yi?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you don't give up the love for your daughter.
But it's obvious he's enamored with Scarlett.
And she's a horrible actress. So, I mean, she's just awful.
Is he just waiting to, like... Woody's a train wreck, though.
I think he's given her, like, the old cast couch audition.
There's this... have you seen the trailer to the other Bolin girl? With Scarlett Johansson and Natalie Portman, and it's got the Incredible Hulk guy. And
there's a sandwich I'd like to be between.
They're both competing for him, but the trailer is like the worst cut trailer I've ever seen to a movie. It annoys the living shit out of me. It's like a king, two competing sisters compete for the king's love. And they'll show a clip and they'll go, we are both rivals. We are sisters. We are rivals. And then it shows them, like, both making out with the king. It's like, a country in chaos. We're in chaos! And then it's like, a king without an heir. King, you must have an heir. And, you know, it's like, one of them can't give birth to a child. I can't give birth!
I am barren!
Yeah, and it's just like, if she's lying, she'll be put to death. He said that you put me... You're just like, okay, we get it. We know what the movie's about. But they spell out every plot point in the trailer. It just annoys. And it's also a choir through the whole thing. You know, like
those
that.
Are the best trailers.
And
what are you talking about?
It never ends. And it's just like... The movie doesn't look bad, but the trailer's friggin'...
It doesn't look good.
It's made for some dipshit to go, oh, I understand the entire movie by now. Okay, I get it.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. But I just wanted to rant about the other Bolin Girl trailer, because it makes me sick. Okay, go ahead from there, Bill.
In Colorado Springs, a state lawmaker used a derogatory term to describe unmarried teen parents as sexually promiscuous.
Oh, dear.
Republican Representative Larry Liston of Colorado Springs complained yesterday that society condones premarital sex, and there's no longer a sense of shame in unmarried teens having children.
Regrettably, no.
My parents' day and age, they were sent away. They were shunned. They were called what they are.
Well, that's because it was full of ignorant people who were just judgmental and they didn't understand situations.
At least a sense of shame.
Yes, I have wrestled with that.
Well, you know, it's okay. There should be shame about if you've done something wrong. But the whole thing about not having sex till you're married obviously does not work because... No. Millions of children in this country were raised by parents that not only didn't love each other, they're so miserable. One held it all in, the mom, and the dad just drank himself to sleep every night and then beat up on her or, you know...
Didn't beat up on her?
beat up on them or beat up on his kids or whatever. Obviously, no one was happy. They all just hold things in.
Yeah, that's a major problem with our society.
Evil.
Guys, there's no sense of shame today. Society condones it. I think it's wrong. They're sluts. And I don't just mean the women. I mean men, too. Man sluts.
Man sluts.
Representative Stella Garza Hicks. who was at the meeting, says Liston should apologize. Garza Hicks is also a Colorado Springs Republican. She said she was disturbed and offended by Liston's use of the word, but didn't confront him at the time because she was so surprised to hear him use it. Liston later told Colorado Springs Gazette that he should have chosen his words better, but believes many people feel the same way he does.
Constant rubbing against my manhood.
Wow.
Now, what are you going to do?
That always
I don't care anything about any of the political crap. Who cares?
No, they're all
Let's
idiots.
Get right to it.
You expect a guy in his 60s to say anything that's not offensive, you know?
Hosey mosey. New Jersey man was charged with child endangerment and harassment after police said he carried on an inappropriate correspondence with two of his son's female classmates. Oh.
Feminist pig.
Yeah. The feminist pig.
Yeah, no exactly. Sense. What?
The girls, 1 15, the other 16, attended Morris Catholic High School, and their cell phone numbers are found in the boy's cell phone. That's where the man of Pompton Plains looked to find their numbers. So he went through his son's phone number so he could flirt with two teenage girls?
Yeah.
What? So,
so different than everyone else.
What is wrong with adults nowadays? I mean, we've had two stories already about guys who, I mean, are they just that? I don't know. There's something seriously wrong here.
The female of the species yourself?
What?
I don't know, but obviously these guys traded in having sex for a TV, so now they're regretting
it. That must be it. They're all pent up, so they're going for the youngest possible. Christ. Thank you, Roadblock. Two Iowa men pleaded guilty Wednesday to marijuana charges in Canada after they fell through the ice while trying to enter the country by crossing a partially frozen river.
Yikes.
Holy crap. We can't go through the checkpoint. We'll get caught. Well, let's cross the frozen river.
Whoa, Steven.
Not moving.
I always love that line from The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken where he goes, "The ice is going to break!" The way he delivers it. That Christopher Walken style, it's genius.
Was that the... Which movie was that Sherman Helmsley fell through the ice?
I have no idea. Mr. Jefferson fell through the ice? Poor guy.
Yes, it was
Weezy, help me! I'm freezing! Hypothermia!
Weezy, I'm going under the ice!
Lawrence! She's ignoring him in the kitchen. She's not paying attention.
I almost think it was one of the Omen movies.
Mr. Jefferson was in the Omen?
Yeah. No, I think I'm confusing it with Kingpin and Jefferson's on ice. John Russell Lindy, 19, Iowa City, and Daniel Thomas Rathan, 19, of Marengo, each pleaded guilty to charge of possession of marijuana for the purpose of trafficking. Holy crap, how much marijuana did they have? A pound and a half of marijuana worth about $2,800. You're not going to traffic a pound and a half. You're going to smoke it. That's ridiculous. The marijuana laws are crazy.
Yes!
What's funny is I watched a special on the History Channel a few weeks ago, and the whole reason marijuana was outlawed is it was a use during the Depression to get Mexican workers out of the United States, because they said that Mexicans brought marijuana into the United States, so to be caught with it, you know, you would go back to Mexico. And they said that you could have marijuana, but the only way you could have it is if you had a stamp. And to get the stamp, you had to already have the marijuana, but because you already had it, you'd get arrested. So, and there was no stamp.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
So our government is just nutty. We have rules that are created for no reason.
Millions of people disagree with you.
No, I think a lot of people agree with me, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Mr. Hasselhoff.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
OK.
Okay. What, smoke pot?
Who knows what she's talking about?
A 76-year-old Pembroke area man doesn't see himself as a street racer, but the law clearly does. Norman Harding was charged going 50 kilometers an hour over the speed limit on January 17th. As a result, his car was impounded. His license was suspended for 7 days, and he was fined $1,000. 76-year-old guy. Harding feels the new Safer Roads for Safer Ontario Act was aimed at street racers, not an elderly man hurry driving his wife to a non-emergency doctor's appointment. Who was he going 50 kilometers over the speed limit to get to the doctor's appointment
50
for?
50 kilometers?
I mean, that's like what? That's like 65 miles an hour over the... That's insane.
Damn old-ass street racer.
He must have been driving something with friggin' nitrous in it.
Dick.
Jesus. Hopefully I can explain to them that I'm not this kind of person, said the soft-spoken man of his February 21st court date.
Did you realize that that's, you know, it's a criminal act to do that in public?
I guess he didn't, but, hey, he needed to get his wife to the doctor's appointment.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very, very important. All right, so we have about 20 minutes left. You guys want to start some DVDs?
Yeah, boy, howdy, Dewey. Thanks for doing the news, Bill. Did a good
no
job.
No problem.
Let's
Vanessa
do some...
can't come back soon enough, please. Please. Please.
Who knows what's happening? Let's do the DVDs!
DVDs!
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Yes, DVDs!
Oh, hell yes, the DVDs!
Do you guys look at each other and, like, sing to one another when you do that? Because you seem to be in sync.
No.
Beautiful.
You don't even look at one another and, like, sing into the same microphone?
No.
Sometimes. That gaze.
We're just holding hands.
Like the 80s hair band move where you both lean into the same microphone.
No,
back
we're back to back.
To back.
Yeah, back to back. Like
you know,
that.
I got to say, Bill, thanks for watching the clock during the show. I just can't watch the clock while I'm doing the show. I know it's probably something you have to do if you're a professional on the radio or something. But
I do have
a clock here, but obviously it's not in sync with Talk Radio X. But at the same time, who gives a shit? All right, Bill, what DVDs are coming out this week?
Really? Honestly? Who gives a shit?
I'm a beast, you guys. You just don't know.
First DVD is something that I've wanted to see for a long time. Actually, no, I'm lying. It's 2012 Doomsday, starring Amy Dolenz.
Yes.
There is Bump a name I haven't seen in ages.
Amy Dolenz.
Bump on my hog.
She was so hot.
Didn't she? She does topless scenes a lot, doesn't she?
She did a ton of them.
In her B-movies, isn't she always doing them?
I don't know if she's still doing them. Wouldn't she kind of be old?
Just take it off.
And she's the daughter of...
Mickey Dolenz.
That's right. Who is...
One of the monkeys.
That's right. The monkeys.
Hey, hey, Vise the monkeys. She's co-starring in this 2012 Doomsday with Cliff DeYoung.
So there you go.
I didn't know she'd done anything since that stupid movie where she was with Tony Danza as her dad.
Holy crap, you're right.
You're going back in time, Steven. That was called... Not my daughter.
She's something.
She's out of control.
She's out of control.
Jesus Christ. Okay, now I'm going to blow my head off. I love Tony Danza. Hey, is 2012 anything like... what is that movie? I'm trying to think. What is it? 2012 what, Bill?
Cyborg?
All right, we did that last week. You can do it 2 weeks in a row.
But she's been in quite a few things here. She was in Pumpkinhead too.
Was she in the movie called Ticks? Wasn't she in Ticks?
I'm not sure.
No, that was Soleil Moon Frye.
Soleil Moon Frye.
No, there was also another. There was more than one female in the movie. Remember?
It was Soleil Moon.
No, whatever. We're stopping the show. Matter. So what's the movie about?
I have no idea. It's got Amy Poehler in it.
Awesome! I'm checking that shit out.
I would assume it's something about the Mayan calendar prediction that the world is going to end in 2012.
Oh.
Right on.
That system probably contains a new data encryption algorithm.
You could probably listen to Coast to Coast AM and hear a little more about it. Or if you really want some punishment, tune into the Kevin Smith Show.
Is that like a wannabe Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah, I think it used to be on Talk Radio X, but I think they replaced him with B-Dub, which was a really good choice now to think of it. Academy
Ladies
Awards
and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
Nice.
That was a long one. Now we're coming up to something that's cool. The Warner Brothers releasing the Academy Awards Animation Collection. So these are...
testicles is enlarged.
Oh. These are 15 winners of Academy Awards restored from the original masters. All cartoons, of course. And it's also got 26 nominees. So these are all recognized cartoons for the Academy Awards, which is pretty damn cool.
Is this shorts or features?
No, it's shorts.
Okay.
Animated shorts. Next DVD is something that's been on the shelf for like 4 years. It's called The Amateurs with Ted Danson, Jeff Bridges, Joey Pants. What's this other guy's name? Shit. Crap. I can't remember his name.
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz, yeah, that's it. No, William Fitcher. It just came to my mind.
Oh,
William Fitcher.
Yeah. Oh, is it Fichtner? Fichtner?
Fichtner?
Like
Fitchy-fur? Kissy-fur?
Pork chop sandwiches.
Yeah, that's pork it. William pork chop sandwiches.
What I've read about this, and I saw like them reviewed on, what is that movie called? That show called Ebert and Roper, where it said it's pretty horrible.
Yeah, they said that it's really bad. They try too hard. It's been on the shelf forever because it's so bad.
Is it basically regular whimsical town folk full of wisdom, full of whimsy, decide to make an amateur pornographic movie to put their town on the map?
Yeah, they want to become like the Midwest porn capital.
Right, and it's just like not funny, not entertaining. In fact, the people, the townsfolk, are so like full of character and color. It's just ridiculous, overwritten, tripe.
Gotta love that.
And
stuff.
I'm stifling my yawn because.
Well, Grant Gabriel. Well, speaking of
Gabriel's dead,
we'll just clone him and make another one.
Speaking of DC things, there's a double feature coming out, DVD from Warner Brothers. And it's got two of my favorite animated films, Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, and Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero. Both of these are
excellent
Batman movies.
Those things were so well made. Is it Bruce Timm and somebody else who did all those?
Paul Dini.
Those guys were awesome.
These two movies are really good. Mask of the Phantasm actually got a theatrical release back in the 90s.
I remember that.
And I consider it one of the best Batman films made. It's just really good.
The heaviest man in the world.
And Sub-Zero is pretty damn good, too. Joel Schumacher should have paid a little more attention to it instead of creating his fantastic bullshit
instead
world.
Instead of adding nipples to the Batsuit.
Oh, criminy.
Hot lesbian man. Yes.
I'll tell you what, I saw the Batsuit for the upcoming Dark Knight, and they're getting pretty close to the nipples.
It's getting
a little elaborate.
It looks kind of like Batman post-apocalyptic Street Fighter type of gear. It kind of looks cool. It looks more kind of combat ready to me.
But what's weird is that Christian Bale looks so much more gaunt than he did for the first one. More muscles in the outfit to make him look bigger.
Well, he keeps making movies where he plays like a prisoner of war or a guy.
Yeah, like The Machinist and Rescue Dawn and all these.
A soldier of the apocalypse.
Or a guy who, he won't sleep.
He was a soldier of the apocalypse.
Yeah, soldier of the apocalypse.
A crazy cop.
Yeah, so. But
what was that movie?
Christian
Harsh
Bell.
Times.
I just watched 310 to Yuma, Bill. Christian Bell is such an incredible actor, though.
He really is. It's such a good movie.
He's fantastic in that.
Hey, man!
I'm even upset again. You know, Alan Tudyk is getting, like, the short end of the stick. He's always the character guy that gets killed in a movie.
Well, there's like, let's do a wash on you. He's like, okay.
Yeah. What was it? I'm a feather.
A feather on the wind.
I'm a leaf on the wind.
I'm a leaf on the wind.
Leaf on the wind.
Hey, what kind of brown coats are you guys?
Well, I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah, that's all right.
This is a cluster.
Next DVD is Becoming Jane with Anne Hathaway, who is pretty hot.
Why would you want to become her?
I don't know. But it's a Miramax film, and it has the word Jane in it, so
Bill,
it's got to...
Is it a Jane Austen anything?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. Anne Hathaway gives a radio performance as a young, love-struck Jane Austen.
Okay, if you had to either watch this film or the Jane Austen book club with a gun to your head, Stephen, which would you choose?
The bullet in the chamber.
You would rather die than watch this or...
I'd watch the Anne Hathaway movie because at least she's somewhat hot. Hey, and it's also got James Cromwell in it, and he's always good.
Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah. And he was also Jack's dad.
Yes.
Jack's evil dad.
He once he tells you to thank Susan all the time for some reason.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, why does... I mean, I guess Susan, there's a lot to be thankful for her for, you know.
She's a great lady.
I want you to say thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
All right, next DVD set is the Charlie Chan Collection, Volume 4. Gotta love
Steven
your...
Steven is really quite...
Yes!
I can't let them know how excited...
Gotta love your Sidney Tollard white man dressed up as a Asian man. Wow. Might as well have had Coke bottle glasses.
Danny DeVito, ching chong 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 chong, Gronk the View, ching chong.
No, Danny DeVito is not Charlie Chan. She got that all wrong.
So offensive.
Tony Chu.
Charlie Chan.
Toby Chu.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, next DVD is Dedication with Mandy Moore, Billy Crudup, and Tom Wilkinson. Why have I never heard of this?
Funny.
I love that music in that.
And it was music.
Way to go, Troy Duffy.
Yeah, Troy Duffy's band. We'll do the soundtrack. But, I've never heard of this either. And,
Hey, it's got three good actors in it, or at least two. Billy Crudup and Tom Wilkinson.
Felt so good to go streaking.
It's too bad that so many of these movies go straight to video. Really is.
Remember, there was a real market for that. You would go to Blockbuster and pick up any crappy movie that was straight to...
Sure.
And you'd be entertained because it was crap. But who... Is there a market
the
for
crappy,
that?
The crappy movies were the B sci-fi horror movies.
I almost think that there's not a market for that anymore because I don't go to Blockbuster, but I'm sure a lot of people do, right?
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right, because when you go to Blockbuster and none of the first-run movies would be there, you would automatically go to, like, the B-grade garbage because you wanted to watch something. And now that no one really goes to video rental stores, you don't go on Netflix and look for B-grade movies.
It's like, let's see what Lorenzo Lamas has made lately.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to put in Lorenzo Lamas in Netflix.
I'm afraid something inside me died.
But if you put in Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup, yeah. Is that how you pronounce it? Crud up.
Crud up.
Billy Crud up.
Crud up.
Dallas, the complete eighth season, if you need your J.R. Ewing fix.
I don't. Yeah. I'm going to pass.
Okay. Well, then we'll pass on that. The Equalizer, season one. Got to love, you know, some crazy action-y, investigation-y, this thing.
Mm-hmm. Time-consuming.
I used to watch The Equalizer. I liked it.
I love that. I love not only The Equalizer, I love the theme music by Stuart Copeland.
Yes, some of the best theme music ever.
And we've established that his son was played by Billy Zabka. Which I can see. You know,
Billy Zabka's actually been doing a lot of producing in the background. I saw a short film that he produced that was in Russian or something called The Most, which was actually pretty good. It was a 30-minute short film.
Now you picture Edward Woodward, his son would look like William Zabka. What was the casting person doing on that show?
Hey, I know who we get. Billy Zabka.
Yeah.
I loved him in The Karate Kid.
All right, Bill, watch the clock, because I'm not.
The third season of Family Ties.
I guess we've been together for a million years.
I think on a show recently on like the Today Show or something, they all reunited.
Yeah, they were. It was great to see all them together.
And, I don't think the youngest was there, though.
No, she was there.
No, I mean the kid. Remember they had
the little boy. Yeah,
he's like a crack addict or something.
I'm wondering what happened to that kid.
He lived in Colorado and he started a rock band. It was the last thing I saw of him.
I hope he's still alive. You know?
I mean, after doing the Star Trek,
because I wanted to see where was Nick? Hey, yo, Mallory, why wasn't he on the reunion? But I guess they wanted the people who were there on the pilot episode. Where's Skippy? I want to see Skippy. So anyway,
Skippy.
Then Red Killer Tomatoes eats Brandon.
Now, Bill, how much time we got left? We got plenty of time.
Yeah, we got about 7 minutes.
Nice.
Next DVD is Furnace with Michael Pare, Tom Sizemore, Ja Rule, and Danny Trejo.
Hey, Michael Pare, that's one of those guys you rent his movie when you're at Blockbuster. And
this is exactly what this is. Furnace, unrated, creepy, one hell of a ride, Fangora magazine. Never heard of it, but you know what? Maybe if it was nothing to do on a Saturday night, I'd rent it.
It would be like, watch it in a cold room. It keeps the room warm, you know?
I think so. It radiates heat from your television.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like those Yule logs on Christmas.
Kick his ass.
Okay. George of the Jungle, the complete original series. All 17 swinging episodes.
Awesome.
I loved that show.
I loved it too, and I always watch it, but you know, I don't think I understood it.
No, do you?
Just like Bullwinkle. There's
Was it the same company that did this as Bullwinkle?
I believe so, and I can't remember.
Credo would know, but I don't know.
I can't remember the guy's name who did all those. I'm sure somebody will help us out.
Yeah. Anyways, next DVD is Gone Baby Gone, the Ben Affleck directed film with Casey Affleck, Morgan Freeman.
I really wanted to see it. It's a powerful film.
Yeah, very good movie.
Do you think Affleck should stop acting and just start a career directing?
You know what? His direction is terrific in this. Like, you really, really get a sense of South Boston. It just really great direction.
Cool.
I was very impressed. Sweet. I was impressed with everyone involved in it. It was a really good movie. I'm thinking about maybe buying it on Blu-ray, but I don't know how many times I would really watch it. I might just rent it.
It's one of those kind of flicks. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those movies you watch once and then go, wow, it was really good, but I don't know if I want to watch it again.
Right. No, I get you.
Next DVD is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner 40th Anniversary Edition.
Hey, I've had it. Enough already. Enough!
Hey, are you racist or something? Sidney Poitier is very good.
Sidney Poitier. He's a French Canadians. Oh.
Why not entertain your evening with Paul Rudd and Michelle Pfeiffer in I Could Never Be Your Woman?
Why not?
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of it.
It was directed by Amy Heckerling, put out by the Weinstein Company, probably went straight to video.
I believe it's pronounced Pfeiffer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Pfeiffer? I think you're right. I'm Pfeiffer. Sorry. Pfeiffer. Kind of like Peary Eerie.
Oh, next God, you didn't even know how to hold it right.
Next DVD is documentary called In the Shadow of the Moon, which I really, really wanted to see. It's that Ron Howard thing about the moon, basically, and all the moon landings and all that. Just it got incredible reviews. I know Ebert gave it 4 stars.
Huh.
And I'm always into space stuff. Love space stuff.
But on the other side of the moon, isn't that where the aliens are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, you know, the moon kind of orbits, so we see all sides of the moon at some point. So there's really no dark side of the moon. So
get
I don't see how
here.
There could be.
No, the moon doesn't rotate.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It orbits us.
It orbits us, but it doesn't rotate like our planet.
Okay.
It stays in the same position. It doesn't spin.
All right,
on its
Foggy, axis. We get it.
I'm going to argue that. I'm going to argue that.
No, that's why you get. Spin. That's why you get full and half moons and all that.
Okay.
No problem.
Maybe
I remember
wrong.
That from astronomy class.
Okay.
So there.
Well,
could
you know
be
what?
Aliens?
It's been a long friggin' time. we got about 3 minutes, so...
Any special DVDs before we wrap up?
I'll mention Martian Child with John Cusack. I watched it last week. It was awful. Started out, the first hour was real good. Last half hour was your typical child in crisis bullshit.
Is it a sap fest?
Yeah, it just really bad, really horrible writing. Like, they didn't know how to end it, so they just went.
Does a kid learn how to just be himself and live life?
Exactly.
And all that kind of
you horror? Know, he runs away, they find him, he's in distress. The John Cusack character is like, oh, I love you. He's like, oh, I love you too, and he acts normal.
Oh, well, good
you
for
know,
him.
It's, yeah. It's just, it ruins it. You know, it could have been really good, but then it just goes really awful.
All right, then, I'll check that out.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Why not?
Good night.
Oh,
for
and
And what was that, Bill?
two real quick ones to end it. We Own the Night with Mark Wahlberg and Joaquin Phoenix. Supposed to be a good movie. And for Steven, Zapped with Scott Baio.
Oh, hell yes!
Yes! Finally.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week. And thank you for listening to episode 111 of Nowhere on Mulberry. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 1206-202-3491. If you'd like to do other stuff, you can do that as well, and we will love you for it. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And also, if you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, Stephen, there's the forum on there.
And you can prove me wrong telling me that the moon does spin on its axis.
Yeah, you know what, Stephen? You're probably right.
I would never do such a thing, Stephen. I just want you, now that you've joined the forum, to post now.
I'm waiting for some. I was looking for something to post against, you know.
Hey,
just like,
you don't need anything because I certainly don't. You just write "ha ha" on a post, laugh at something somebody.
Well,
else
I read, and I was looking for something to write, you know.
I just saw it. You're wrong. Bad astronomy. It does.
It rotates.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Every 2 weeks.
Hey, I've learned something tonight. That's all I know.
It doesn't appear to rotate, but it does.
Okay.
Also, if you would like to visit Mulberry Old School. You can listen to our zombie episodes and all the other stuff. That's the thing, you know.
And the multiple times that I'm wrong.
I can go back and, hey, no, it's good to have debates every once in a while. But no, but if you want to go back and listen to episode 42, Stephen, the Meaning of Life episode, you can do that, okay?
The Meaning of Life episode.
Right. Luna episode, whatever.
It's
right. Yeah. So, see you next week, everybody. We will mourn the loss of Friday Night Lights next week. Hopefully we'll be surprised and it'll be back. We love you. Much love. Stuff like that. Steven, you have anything to add? Any words of wisdom?
I apologize for being wrong.
Steven, it's
No, I just...
Hey, you can investigate it. Maybe Bill's reading a website that's wrong.
No, it's bad astronomy.
I trust Bill.
So. get into astrology. You can just make shit up there, right?
I do. I'll make up that. I make up stuff anyways.
We got nothing. All right, everybody.
Steven makes up.
Have a good one. That's the baby. And we'll talk about Jumper next week. Ooh. No, no, not really.
Jumper. I want to go see that.
Yeah, okay, I'll go see it.
I love Mannequin Skywalker.
Why not?
Danger, danger, shitty acting.
Mannequin Skywalker.
I think the guy can act in other movies, just not in Star Wars movies, is what it is.
Was that it? Was it that, or was it just shitty directing by George?
No, he was pretty awful in that Shattered Glass or whatever the hell that was.
Oh, yeah, that was a strange movie, man.
I like the way you acted in Star Wars. Act just like that.
I'm Beast, you guys. You just don't know.
Now this is podcasting.
Wow.